Nothing but a good time here in the studios of AM 930 WEOL on a Friday, 15 minutes shy of 4 o'clock. It's Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. He's Matt Douglas. I'm Andy Bulbarts. Frigid out there. A frigid Friday. No question about that. And as cool as it might be outside, it's red hot on the hardwood all across the area. And we're going to talk some Lorain County High School boys hoops as we bring in Joel Hammond with the Chronicle Telegram. Joel, how are you, my friend?
Andy, Matt, I have to start by apologizing for my when I big-timed you last week on Friday. I had a family member in town and left my phone in the other room. Totally forgot. Left you guys hanging. I owe you 1,000 apologies. I'm happy to be here this week. I'm sorry I wasn't able to join you last week.
Not a big deal. Yeah. If it was, we wouldn't have invited you back. We were just glad you answered your phone this week because
here I am.
A lot to talk about this week, my friend. I had a laugh because, you know, yesterday we're talking with Tim Gebhardt, and he was discussing just how impressive North Ridgeville looked last week. And then I'm reading your story this morning about having to duck and avoid objects thrown your way because you specifically discussed North Ridgeville this morning. But looking at the last few articles that you have written on Friday mornings, boy, you've kind of been the kiss of death, my friend.
I am bad luck. People in the county are going to stop talking to me. I wrote about Elyria earlier in the year and how they were off to a good start. And, you know, I had about five different caveats in that story about how, you know, it's early and they play the GCC still. But they have not played well in the GCC. It's a very difficult league. Then last week I wrote about Midview. Midview was tied for second in the league. Thought maybe they were going to challenge for the title after beating Lakewood and Olmsted Falls back-to-back. They lose twice this week to Avon Lake and North Ridgeville. So I joked with Brian Morgan this week, who I spoke with, and he said, well, we're not scared of that. We're not scared of the Hammond curse, and we'll talk to you all about ourselves. So they did so.
And it's interesting because, boy, Midview had some chances to win against Avon Lake. I called that game last Friday. They had a couple of opportunities to tie it or win it in the final moments, but just could not cash in. Now, interestingly enough, North Ridgeville is in a similar position to the one that Midview was in a week ago. You can make the argument that they're even hotter than Midview was last week, and it seems like they're getting scoring from a number of different individuals, but of course it's Jeremy Sanchez who takes center stage.
Yeah, they are. They've won 7 of 8. They got beat up pretty good on Friday by Lakewood, but that happens to a lot of teams. So they're and third in the league, you know, right behind Olmsted Falls. Lakewood leads, and they have contributions coming from all over the place. You know, Brian Morgan was optimistic coming into the year that despite losing MJ Smith, who scored 20 a game, that they were deeper from, like, say, your second to seventh guy than they were last year behind MJ. So now you've got another A1 guy in Jeremy Sanchez who's played extremely well. But now he thought, and it's, you know, it's been borne out that they're deeper and they've got more guys behind Jeremy Sanchez. So Sanchez is scoring 17 a game, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. But, you know, think about the contributions made by Jason Verba, who is, you know, he's got to be one of the top shooters in the county. He's shooting 42% from three, has made 32 threes, made 6 against Midview, made 6 against Parma. And that was big against Midview, Andy, because, you know, we talked last week, Midview has really used their 2-3 zone defense to their advantage. So lots of different guys contributing for the Rangers.
I think what's fascinating is when we talk to coaches in the SWC about North Ridgeville, the one thing they always point out about Jeremy Sanchez is how pure a passer he is, too. So, I mean, he's a 16-point-a-game guy who can then dish it out to so many guys. He's got to be one of the most dangerous kids, I'd think, in that conference.
Yeah, he's an interesting player, Matt, because, you know, I mentioned it this week, but I wrote about Jeremy in our SWC preview. And, mm-hmm. you know, typically, you know, for better or worse, those stories are really about, you know, these are real feel-good stories about these players. And, we like to tell those stories. We've got a lot of great stories in the county and all throughout the, you know, these high school sports. But, you know, something that came up with Jeremy, it wasn't quite that. It was that this kid is a great basketball player, but he's also kind of got an edge to him. And you know, that his reputation is well known in the league that, you know, if you try to rattle him, he can get rattled and it can negatively affect him and his team. So sounds like he's been on his best behavior, and he and it's funny, you know, I hate to say that about him, but he admitted it. I mm-hmm. talked to him and like, yeah, you know, this is something I've got to get under control and other teams know it and it can harm us. So sounds like he's done a great job of it. He's really leading that team. I think he's their only double-digit scorer. They've got, like I said, a number of guys behind him, but he's their only double-digit scorer. He's the focal point of the other teams, and he's really done a good job of filling in the gap behind MJ Smith after he left.
Again, we're talking Lorain County Boys High School hoops with Joel Hammond of the Chronicle-Telegram here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Last week, you were able to work your way into a tie for fifth place in your top five. If somebody were to sneak in and get that fifth or sixth spot this week that didn't crack your top five, who do you think that team might be? And you think the Open Door Patriots might sneak in at some point?
Open Door, what a story the Patriots are this year. They had a big win over Division One Maslin last night. And, you know, Andy, we've talked about it before where, I mean, the gap is just typically so big between a Division Four team and a Division One team, with exceptions, you know, like Richmond Heights and the Lutheran East of the world. You know, these schools are able to keep up against some of their bigger opponents. But Open Door is not that kind of school, and they've got a really strong first four guys in Jared Bublinik, Trey Brooks, Carter Wright, and Miles Hunt. And, man, that was a really impressive win last night. I know Maslin is not what they could or should be probably on the hardwood, but I think they're 5-7. But a great win for Open Door, and they'll certainly get some consideration. I think Keystone, I think is right around 500 overall. They're 7-3 in the pack. We talked before we came on, Andy, that they don't have a double-digit scorer, which kind of shows you how many guys they have contributing, whether it's the Mielewitz twins or Colin Roddick or Ethan Sokolowski, and they're an interesting team. They may be next on my profile list if their coach will talk to me without risking a curse coming their way. But, we've got a couple teams behind this top five that can claim a spot in that top ten. And, boy, when the district draw comes out here in a couple weeks and then we do our tournament preview, no, I'm telling you, Open Door could potentially make some noise in their district for sure.
I believe Keystone's the only team to knock off Buckeye over there in the pack, too.
Yeah, yep. Colt Scholzauer is great people. He and I have actually been seeing the same barber for many, many years now. So he'll talk to you, no question about that. Along those same lines, one of the things that really stood out to me in the conversations we've had with him on the Nick Abraham Saturday Sports Wrap-Up Show this year, but I remember last year when they were on that incredible run, other coaches said the same thing about Keystone. The 10th guy on that bench is showing just as much enthusiasm and is just as much in that game as the five on the floor. And that's something I think that has certainly matriculated down to the guys who are getting some more playing time this year as well. All right, sticking with the pack here, tell me about Ryan Whitaker of Wellington and what made him the player of the week.
Yeah, he's had a nice year, Andy. Wellington's, I know the results aren't all the way there. They're 500 in the pack. They're 5-5. And, you know, they miss, why am I blanking on their, Max Jopic, their top guy from last year. They certainly miss him. But they've got some nice players that have filled in. Like I said, I know the results haven't been all the way there that Dan Gunter and his guys like. But, you know, they've had a decent year, and they've got some good players. And Ryan Whitaker, it struck me, you know, Friday night he had a big game and helped his team. He had 22 and helped his team beat Black River in a close game. And he did all that while just having lost his uncle about 8 days ago. I think his uncle died suddenly. He was 38, and it was a very sudden death. So imagine what he was going through. And I think he had a couple big buckets on the stretch to help Wellington beat Black River. So figured we'd give him a little bit of an extra spotlight this week, and what a great story he's been kind of battling through that as he's gone on.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Certainly leaping a psychological hurdle there, no doubt about that. That's very, very tough, and certainly props to him for doing that. Well, your 4 and 5 are meeting up tonight, and we'll have it for you here on AM 930 WEOL. Tim Alcorn has the call as Columbia takes on Clearview. Second matchup of the year between these two. What are you anticipating most? What's the matchup that really kind of stands out to you between these two tonight?
I'm a little jealous of you guys because that's going to be a great environment. You know, you go out to Columbia, you're in that barn. You know, there's a stage in the gym, right? It's real. You're real close to the person next to you. So I know Tim and your crew will get there early and stake out their spot and all that, but that's going to be a fun environment. It's a small gym. It's hot. It's loud. And, Columbia is looking for revenge. They weren't able to get their revenge against Fairview. They've got 3 losses in the pack, and that's probably going to be their undoing, right? They've lost twice to Fairview, and that's, again, Fairview's, what, 9-1 in the pack, I think. I've got the standings pulled up. But, they and Clearview are 9-1 in the pack. So Columbia's 2 losses to Fairview, unfortunately, are probably going to be their undoing as far as the conference race goes. But they can, you know, exact some revenge against Clearview, which beat them early in the year, and knock Clearview out of a tie for first in the league with Fairview. So they've got plenty of motivation. Clearview, of course, has plenty of motivation. They're chasing Fairview, as I just said. And let's be honest, I mean, Clearview's schedule, we've talked about it, Andy. They go Columbia, Bay, Overland, then Buckeye, and then they've got Fairview and Vermilion down the stretch. They've got a very difficult schedule coming down the stretch, so they're looking for any win that they can stack on top of each other. And this, they'll look to, again, they'll look to do what they do all the time. They'll look to turn Columbia over. They'll look to pressure Bailey Coleman in the backcourt and apply their full court pressure. And that's how they came back to beat the Raiders the first time around, was Columbia had, I think, a 9-point lead entering the fourth quarter. And Clearview just turned up the pressure as they're known to do and forced a bunch of turnovers and beat them. So Columbia will have to deal with that and try to stave off Clearview's runs.
Very quickly, top two teams in your top five, no movement up there as Vermilion continues to roll. And Lorain's got an interesting one tonight. This game was moved from Warrensville Heights to Lorain because of a leak, and that's certainly caused a little bit of reshuffling of the deck of sorts. But right now, Warrensville Heights is the closest team to Lorain in the Lake Erie League.
Yeah, Warrensville Heights has had a nice year. And Lorain, I know Matt and Tim talked about it on the court report this week, which I very much enjoyed, Matt, so kudos to you. But, you know, Lorain hasn't played in 2 weeks. They had a game scheduled. They had a bunch of games around the holidays with their holiday classic. They played at EC in the play-by-play classic. They edged Cleveland Heights on the 11th. They had a game scheduled for last Saturday against Clearview, of course, that was postponed due to snow. So they haven't played in 2 weeks. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of mood they're in. I never foresee Lorain having any trouble getting up for a game. They practice hard. Coach Rossitano has them ready to go. But Warrensville Heights is no slouch. The benefit is they're coming to Lorain's gym, so that'll be good. And then they play Clearview tomorrow. So Lorain will have to be ready to roll because the Heights Tigers are no slouch this year.
No doubt about it. Well, Joel, as always, we appreciate the time, my friend. We're very, very happy that you picked up the phone this week. Just kidding. I had to get that extra dig in there. You know how I work.
Bull was crying last week. He thought the friendship was over. He was so sad.
Uh-huh. He wouldn't return my phone calls. Yeah.
Why? He kept yelling. It was
yeah,
just sad.
I know. Sorry, guys.
No, it's all good, my friend. We appreciate the time every week, and we'll do it again next Friday.
Sounds good. Talk to you then.